We are live out at Twin Peaks. It is the start of the 2023 season on the award-winning pregame show. That's right, the award-winning pregame show, according to the Tennessee Broadcasters Association. Best local coverage of 2022 was this pregame show that doesn't even have a name except for the pregame show.
That's all you need.
Alongside former Titans receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders, Titans and the Saints kick off the 2023 season. Guys, we have finally made it. D-Mace, congratulations. The football season is upon us. Seven straight losses to end 2022 for the Titans. They look to get off on the right foot in 2023.
Yeah, they do. And it all starts with the offensive line. Can the offensive line, a much maligned offensive line last year, can this offensive line step up and do the job that they are tasked to do? Everything that the Titans do from an offensive standpoint is going to start with the offensive line today. Derrick Henry running the football, Ryan Tannehill getting time to throw the football down the field. And they will be met against a defensive line that's not great, but they got some really good pass rushers on the outside. So the Titans got to figure out a way to get this offensive line, because the last time we saw them, Jared and Chris, in the preseason game, they did not look good against the ones from New England. So hopefully with 2 weeks rest, 2 weeks of communicating with one another and the head and their position coach, this offensive line can show up and show up big.
You know, I mean, I agree with you, Derek. The offensive line, I mean, there's so many moving pieces. We got, you know, guys coming from different teams. But I want to focus on a different area that everybody's been talking about is the passing attack. I mean, if you look at last year, they only averaged 7.1 yards on pass reception. So I want to see who's going to be that 1,000-yard receiver. We got Hopkins. We got Burks. We got Chris Moore. We got all these guys that they brought in. Who's going to be that guy to make plays? Who's going to be the guy to stress the defense? So I know we're talking about the offense line. I know we're going to talk about the defense. I know we're going to get into all these things. But I want to see what Tim Kelly does when he has all these weapons in the passing attack.
The one thing I think is great is that this does kind of feel, and they were asked about it, Tannehill and Henry, and they, you know, they kind of pushed it off to the side, this being kind of the last hurrah of the Tannehill-Henry era. And what's great about the Titans, they drafted Will Levis. And he is, as of right now, I think we can all agree, like, as far as planning is concerned, he's the quarterback of the future for this team. But I do think that the Titans have left the door open on Tannehill, Henry, Byard, Hopkins, that group, playing their way into another season after this one if things go according to plan. If not, then I think we will see the rebuild of the Titans. And I do wonder for you guys, because you guys played in a window where there was kind of a time where it was, hey, should we rebuild? Should we not rebuild? You know, I do think that there's kind of an onus on the core group of players to get off on the right foot this season so that they don't start having discussions about rebuilding and the future of the team.
Hey, this is for this group right here, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, and maybe a few other guys that are in that mix. This is it for them, because they're getting older, and everybody around them in this division is getting younger. So as much as these guys have been critical parts of winning success over the last 4-5 years since Vrabel's been here, their time is coming to an end. So, and I'm sure they understand that. They will not voice it loudly to anyone, but they understand in that locker room, those core guys that this team was built on, Henry, Tannehill, Kevin Byard, it's coming to an end. So they, like you said, Jared, they need to, you know, step out on the right foot and get this thing to going very, very quickly, because this is a team they can beat. This is a team that I believe that they're better than. And they can't let what happened, they can't let happen this year what happened to them last year, where the New York Giants came in, a team that didn't have an identity other than their running back, came in, and they beat Tennessee in their stadium. They can't go down to New Orleans this weekend tonight and let a game like this slip away.
And I'm glad you brought that game up, because that game last year, the Titans dominated that first half. They were up 13-0. That was a team that they were better than. And then, you know, because it was only 13, there were two big plays by the Giants that put them right back in that game, and now you're down 14-13 in the second half, and it was a dogfight. And when I look at the Saints, they, to me, offensively, they don't really, you know, scare me as a putting up 35, 40 kind of point team. Mm-hmm. But because I think the Titans offense may be starting a little slow this season, especially with that line, I am worried that the Saints could make a couple of plays with a couple of the guys that they have. And then all of a sudden, just like last year, a team that probably shouldn't be in the game with you is in the game with you because you've gone out and, you know, made a couple of mistakes defensively for an offense that your defense should dominate.
Yeah, but they don't get it twisted now. They still got some firepower. I mean, they got Olave and they got Jamal Williams. Those guys can make some plays. But the thing about it is, if you look at last year when they played against the Giants, I really believe that the Titans were the better team. They just played terrible in the second half. I think they need to play a complete game, offense, defense, special teams. But the one thing that I hate talking about is the kicker. I mean, I hope it doesn't come down to the kicker because we know that the Tennessee Titans have been going through kickers left and right. We know a little bit about Nick Folk, but I want to see Kenny kick it in a pressure situation. We know he did it with the Patriots, but it's like when a kicker comes here with the Tennessee Titans, it's always wide left. So that's what they got to figure out.
Well, they got to figure something out. Yeah. You know, they can't allow the New Orleans Saints to feel they have an opportunity to win this game. Now, listen, it's the beginning of the season, and we all know how it goes. Mm-hmm. And you've said it plenty of times, Jared, and the late, great Floyd Reese said it. Bad teams don't know they're bad right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly, and everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl, and everybody has an opportunity.
Including the Titans, by the way, who might be a bad team this year.
Exactly.
I mean,
absolutely.
I don't think they're going to be bad, but, I mean, you know, again, bad teams don't know they're bad yet.
Exactly. So the Titans got to go, you know, go down to New Orleans today, and they got to prove that they are the better team. Yes, New Orleans have firepower with Michael Thomas and Olave and Williams, who they got from the Detroit Lions last year.
And Rashid Shaheed.
Yes, the third receiver.
And Juwan Johnson, the tight end, who's kind of got a little Jonnu Smith thing going on.
Exactly. So they have enough firepower to win them games if, indeed, it remains close. The last time we saw the Titans play against Derek Carr, it was a close game with the Las Vegas Raiders. And had it not been for some drop passes and some tip passes, I'm not sure the Titans would have won that game against Derek Carr. But new team, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, I mean, for Derek Carr, not necessarily for the New Orleans Saints. You just want to see how the Titans are able to put pressure on a new quarterback or veteran quarterback, but with a new team. How can they put pressure on him to throw him off so he can't build that rapport with his receivers early?
I think he's the common denominator of the whole thing because I think he has a lot to prove. I mean, last year he threw for 3,500 yards, 24 TDs, and 14 interceptions, a bad year on his part. So I think he wants to prove something, not just his teammates. He wants to prove something to the NFL that he can still play in an elite level. You can't let this guy get confidence, start throwing it to Olave and making, you know, those explosive plays down the field. But at the end of the day, just like what Derek and you said, we got to put pressure on him, not let him get confidence, hit him square in the mouth, and do what the Tennessee Titans need to do.
The thing about a guy like Olave is that he has the explosive big play in him.
Ohio State.
And that is what I am worried about. Yeah, but Michael Thomas doesn't have that.
Oh, he look like an old man. Do you see him running in practice?
I mean.
Dude, it looks like he got like 2 feet, dog.
Tough, man, tough.
And where did he go to school?
Easy.
but like, I am worried. That's my big thing. You know, I asked you earlier in the week, Chris, you know, what are you worried about of the Titans? You said offensive line and kicker, and I think that those are two, you know, perpetual worries that I think that we always have. But I am worried about the big play today. I'm not worried about the big play 6 times. I'm not worried about the big play 4 times. I'm worried about 1 or 2 big plays at the wrong point in the game because I do think that the Titans' defense is going to have to win them games. And the big play, you can have a great dominant defensive performance for 60 snaps, and if on snap 61 they bust an 82-yard touchdown, all that goes down the drain.
I think the guy that's on the spotlight on defense is Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton needs to show up. I mean, I know last year that he was hurting, kind of a little bit inconsistent, made some plays here and there. But if you match him up against Olave, he's got to shut him down. He's been talking about he wants to be a shutdown corner. Even in camp when he went against the Minnesota Vikings, he said, I want to go against Jefferson. I want to go against the best. So if I can beat Jefferson and I can shut him down, then I can be that elite corner that he wants to be. So if he comes in here with Olave from the Ohio State University, that can run routes, can get the guy off the spot, lie with his eyes, do those things as a wide receiver, and you shut him down, I think you have a guy that's going to play with confidence because you shut one of the best receivers down in the NFL.
Well, that secondary is going to have to do something because, again, this was one of the sore spots of that defense last year, especially when the defensive line started accruing injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it. I've always said this, and this has been my concern, during the preseason and during the offseason. One, can they stay healthy on the outside?
Yeah, yeah.
And then two, can these guys really step up and match what the defensive line is doing? Because the defensive line, they're going to play great. Minus injuries, those guys are going to hustle to the ball. Jeffrey Simmons is going to cause havoc in the middle. He and Tier Tart. So the defensive
don't
line.
Don't sell Autry short.
Yeah,
Autry is
yeah,
a dog. Autry,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
a dog.
He deserves. He we were talking
yeah.
about this before the show.
He deserves
Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders does not believe in the captain's patch, the C at Colorado.
Yeah.
They've got L's and D's.
That is cold.
Leaders
right.
and dogs. And DeNico Autry
yeah,
deserves
a dog,
D.
Man.
He deserves
dogs.
A D. So we know what that defensive line is. We're still trying to figure out Harold Landry. Will
yeah.
he be the Harold Landry that he was prior to the injury? I think he's going to start off slow and then come on toward the end of the season. But the secondary has to
yeah.
match what the defensive line is doing, because the defensive line, if they get pressure, even if they, you know, don't get pressure, because the Titans are they're good enough on defense to not have to put to not have to blitz.
Yep.
So if you can allow this front seven to just rush the passer and leave those guys on the back end to do their job, they must match up well with the New Orleans Saints, because the defense can do their job, but if that back end isn't
Ooh,
doing their
yeah.
job, it's going to be a long day.
And one thing I'm a little bit concerned about also has been in game shape ready.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we talk about, you know, not playing in the preseason, not playing games, but these guys haven't played a full game. So you don't want to get to the fourth quarter like they did against the Giants last year, where they dominated the first, the second, and third quarter. But now you get to the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden they're tired, and now you're not getting that pass rush, that physicalness, because you're not in game shape ready. So if they're in game shape ready and put the pressure on Derek Carr, get him off his spot, and do the things that they need to do. I agree with Derek. This defense can do some damage.
See, I don't think that it was that they got tired against the Giants. I think they went at halftime, and they took a smoke break thinking of 13-0.
Yeah, some black and miles.
I mean, because I'll tell you right now, that I remember walking in at halftime thinking, man, this like the Titans are just so – they kicked that ass in the first half. I was like, they are so clearly better than the Giants.
Yes, sir.
The problem was the Titans thought the same thing at halftime. Mm. You know, that was the issue. That and Derek's crazy take that the Titans roster was a good first half roster and not a good second half roster.
Oh, it
last
is.
Year.
Absolutely. It showed all of last
season. The Titans
season.
Scored like 24 points in the first half last year against the Raiders and against the Colts, and then scored like no points in the second half in both games. And Derek's like, you know, the problem is their roster's not good enough. And I was like, so they got a good first half roster but a bad second half roster?
Hey, that roster isn't good. And it's still not good enough.
What concerns you?
They just don't have the depth.
Oh, yeah.
The depth at the offensive line. I think the depth in the secondary.
They don't have any depth anywhere except for the defensive line.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Defensive line.
I mean,
is
if you want to argue quarterback, like I don't really trust putting either guy in the mm-hmm. game behind Tannehill, but like at least they have quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Whereas like, you know, if they suffer an injury at tight end to Chigakonkwo, who's playing tight end?
They are in for a long day if Chig goes down, you know, during this game or any game, because right now they don't have a suitable backup guy with experience that can go out there and do some of the things that Chick can do. But this is what worries me about this team. The depth along the offensive line, the depth in the secondary, you got to have it, because this 100% of the time you're going to get injured in this game. And if you don't have somebody that can back you up, that can do the job just as good, even better than you can, then it's going to be a long season. And right now, over the last course of the 2 years, maybe even three, this team, in regards to their depth, hasn't been good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys getting hurt. What was it last year? 90 guys got hurt or something like that?
I think that was 2 years,
two
ago.
Years ago.
But
they had a lot of them.
Like
exactly. Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, that's the key in the NFL. You got to stay healthy. I mean, you know, you can't control about getting hurt in the game, but if they can figure out to get some more depth, I think they can be good on – nah. They're going to be okay on the offensive line.
Coming up next, we'll take a look.
Uncle Chris, man.
We'll take a look at the big storylines from the game. We'll move the chains. Again, we are live at Twin Peaks out in Madison. Come on out. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks. Two locations here in the area. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all of the hottest NFL action today. Of course, they've got the 32-degree beers right now. We're looking. They've got the beer scoreboard up there. 28.5 degrees. We'll continue. It's the award-winning winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live out at Twin Peaks again, out here in Madison. Come on out and see us. The beers right now are 29.4 degrees Fahrenheit. And they may be dropping throughout. So ice cold beer on a football Sunday here on the award-winning pregame show. It's time to take a look at the biggest storylines of the day. It's time to move the chains. And, of course, we start at first down. Tim Kelly takes the reins as Titans offensive coordinator. Last year, he was the passing game coordinator under the much maligned Todd Downing. Todd Downing is out, and Tim Kelly is in, as is DeAndre Hopkins and a brand new offensive line. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
We start with you.
Yep.
What do we know about Tim Kelly, and what are we interested in seeing today from Tim Kelly?
You know, I want to see Tim Kelly throw the ball down the field. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, Tannehill had 16 passing TDs and only five of them to receivers. You had NWI had three. You had Woods that had two. I want to see Tim Kelly spread the defense out, let those guys make play. You got a lot of firepower. You got Hopkins, you got NWI, you got Chig, you got Josh Wiley. I don't know if he's going to be up or not, but he's got to make sure he put these guys in position to be able to make plays. And the thing about it is, you look at last year, when you look at Todd Downing, and I say this in a respectful way, I think a lot of his offense was so predictable. It was so predictable, and the defenses knew that, and even the fans knew that. I think Tim Kelly has to make sure that he has right formation, make sure he's putting these guys in position to make those explosive plays downfield, because it's just a sad situation where you have a lot of receivers on that roster last year and you only had five TDs by the receivers. I think that was a problem.
Well, we don't know whether he's going to be different from Todd Downing or not.
Good point.
But it's just good to have a fresh face on the sideline. You know,
nowhere to go but up.
Exactly. Well, we hope. You know,
well, I guess they could go to 31st or 32nd, but other than that,
yes. We know now that because of not just the offensive coordinator change, but because Ben Jones is no longer with the team, Ryan Tannehill would take on a lot of the responsibilities that call it our protections. So a lot of it will be put on his shoulders. So to me, it depends on, you know, not just Tim Kelly, but how well does Ryan Tannehill get this offense in and out of good plays,
yes,
making the right checks, making the right reads, because now Tim Kelly has put a lot of responsibilities on Ryan Tannehill's shoulder. Not to say he didn't have responsibilities last year with Todd Downing, but I think because Ben Jones was a center, he took on the bulk of that. So we hope that this offense not necessarily looks right, different, because I think the offensive scheme is the same, but it's the play calling. When do you call plays? How do you call them? Are you chasing plays? Are you ahead of plays? And Ty Downing seemed like last year he was chasing plays. We need Tim Kelly to be ahead of the defensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator chasing him rather than him chasing the defensive coordinator.
The one thing I say about Tim Kelly is that I felt like what Arthur Smith had was once or twice a game, and sometimes in his best games, maybe three or four times, mm-hmm, they had those wow plays,
yeah,
where like the entire defense and Tannehill and the offense, they're all going to the right, and then all of a sudden Tannehill turns his shoulders and throws it to the left, and there's a guy wide open, and it's like, wow. And I did not feel that with Todd Downing, mm-hmm, as much. I want, you know, today especially, where we know it's going to take the offense some time to gel because the offensive line is going to be a work in progress, I would like to see some wow plays today where it's like, wow, he pulled that out of the bag.
You know, in watching the Detroit Lions and Kansas City Chiefs game Thursday, which was a hell of a game,
it sure was.
What Jared Goff was doing reminded me so much of what Arthur Smith was doing, mm-hmm, and what the Titans were about while he was offensive coordinator. Play action pass and hit those deep intermediate middle routes coming in the middle of the field, or hitting guys by themselves across the field. That's what you talk about, those plays where you go one direction and a guy is leaking out in another direction because of the play action and he's wide open. Those are the plays that Tim Kelly is going to have to pull out. Those are the things that the Titans got to get back to. They were one of the best play action teams, yeah, in the National Football League a couple of years ago, and that was because of Arthur Smith. They need to get back to that.
Yeah. Let's get to second down. Jeffrey Simmons armed, ooh, with a new contract, and the Titans defense starters at all level. In comes Azeez Al-Shaair. Also, Sean Murphy Bunting from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's got a Super Bowl ring. And Arden Key comes in from the Jacksonville Jags. In training camp, both against the Titans and against the Vikings, this defense was downright dominant.
Yes, they were.
How much can we expect that to carry over a little bit into the regular season?
Man, I think they're going to be good. I mean, I watched them in practice a couple of times this year, and you're looking at a defense that's fast, physical, and they don't make mistakes. And, you know, everybody talks about Jeffrey Simmons being the leader of that defense. In my opinion, I think it's Arden Key. I mean, he brings an attitude. He brings a tenacious. And I just watched him in practice. I watched how they communicate with the secondary. I watched how they're communicating with the linebackers. And when you have all guys, all 11 guys on the same page, you can play fast and physical, and that's exactly what Shane Bourne wants to do with this defense. In my opinion, just watching them in camp and watching them in OTAs, and I'm going to say this boldly, I think they're going to be a top five defense in the league just because of the personnel, just because you have guys that are in place and making plays. So I think they're going to be outstanding.
Well, I'm going to say this, and you know, if you've watched any other preseason games and if you follow this team, Aziz, when you talk about D's and L's, Aziz has a D on his shoulder pad. That kid can flat out. He's a monster.
Yes, he is.
He attacks everything.
And he's fast.
Everything. And that's what they need on that defense. They need an attacking linebacker. They need the guy that sets the tempo and the tone of the game. Yes, Kevin Byard does it from a leadership standpoint, but they need a guy at that linebacker position that sets the tone of the game. And Aziz, he does that. That's what I've seen from him in the few times he played during the preseason. But this defense, I mean, they can be as good as health allows them to be, I believe. And if the back end matches what the defensive line is doing, if this team stays healthy and that back end matches what the defense is doing, I mean, what the defensive line is doing, I mean, top five is not out of the realm of possibility. This could be a really good defense.
But, you know, I know we've been talking about Simmons and we've been talking about Autry, but I think one of the guys that's been having a solid camp is Weaver. Mm-hmm. Weaver's been balling, man. He's been all over the place. He's consistently getting sacks. I know when he first got in the league, he had a bad rep, but the situation off the field and, you know, getting hurt. But this guy's playing at a high level. I mean, you add him to the mix with Simmons, Autry, and Arden Key, and, you know, all these guys that are physical and fast. Now you got a complete defense, but I think the only thing that could hold them back is if they have injuries.
Does this defensive line, the depth and the tenacity with which they play with, does it remind you of the defensive lines that you guys played with?
Ooh, man.
It's hard to tell
because in a sense, yeah, because if you just start naming the guys on the defensive front in the linebackers, then yeah. But – I mean, those defensive lines that we had, man, it was just they were damn good.
Yes.
And they were led by Kevin Carter and Javon Curse. But you had other guys on that line of scrimmage, whether it be Keith Bullock or some other guys that really played at a high level. They have the defensive line play to do it, the Titans. I like Aziz. We need to see more from those linebackers during the year. We didn't see it from them last year. A lot of it because they were injured. They couldn't stay on the field, and Harold Landry was gone. But those linebackers need to show up and show up big.
Talk about the outside backers rushing the passer.
Yeah, those outside backers,
Let's go to third down. Much maligned outside the city of Nashville, Ryan Tannehill enters year. Can you believe it? Five
as
the Titans quarterback.
That's
guys, a lot of people in the offseason said they need to move on from Tannehill. They need to dump Tannehill. They need to go get a new quarterback. They need to not pay the money. They drafted Will Levis in the second round. Tannehill is clearly the best quarterback on this football team. And I think it has gone from Tannehill being overrated to Tannehill now being underrated. What do we make about Ryan Tannehill ahead of the final year of his contract?
He's a guy that – Ryan is who he is, I believe. He's a good quarterback. He can do some things that will help you, and he also could do some things that will hurt you at times.
Would you be cool playing with him?
I would be cool playing with Ryan. I seriously would. Because one thing, he may not be the best quarterback out there, but he knows exactly what he's doing. He's a veteran. He knows he understands he has that leadership that you need at the quarterback position. Again, is he a top 10 quarterback, even a top 15? Maybe not a top 15. But he is a guy that if you're doing your job, he's more than likely going to do his job. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to wow you every game, but he's going to do just enough to put you in a position to win. So, I mean, I'm good with Ryan Tannehill, but this year he needs to take another step forward if this team, considering the depth on this team, if this team is going to make a push to the playoffs, he has to be one of the reasons why they do it.
You know, when it's coming out of Miami, everybody questions his leadership. And I want to talk about his leadership. I know everybody's talking about his skill set and throwing the ball. That's great and everything. But I want to talk about what I saw this year out of Tannehill. This year, I sat in the meeting room with him in the offense, and I just kind of listened to what they were doing, how he was communicating. This guy's at a different level of leadership. What he's doing, he's expecting everybody to get the job done. He's making sure everybody's accountable. He's talking to his players. He's communicating with the offensive line. He's communicating with the receivers. He's communicating with Tim Kelly. And I watched him in the reading room. There's an expectation that he wants to play. There's an expectation that he wants to be the best quarterback in the league. And when you go on the field, he's translating that from the meeting room to the field. So even though a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth with a cup about 3 or 4 years ago when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals, but I'm telling you, this guy can lead his team to something special this year.
Quickly, fourth down. How nervous are you guys if the game comes down to a Nick Folk kick?
Nervous.
Depends on how long the kick is. If it's over
51 for the win.
Nervous. Oh, yeah. I'm nervous.
Okay. There you go. That's moving the chains. Coming up next, we go inside the offensive playbook of the Titans. What do we expect out of Tim Kelly? What do we think the Titans will dial up? We'll do that next. Live from Twin Peaks out here in Madison, it is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live out of Twin Peaks in Madison, it is time to go inside the playbook here, presented by, I forget who. There you go. Inside the playbook. Again, live out here at Twin Peaks. We go inside the playbook. Let's start on offense. We've already touched on Tim Kelly a little bit. The addition of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that when DeAndre Hopkins hit free agency, everybody on TV was talking about this team should get DeAndre, that team should get DeAndre, and none of them said that the Titans should get DeAndre. And they said, you know, if this team gets DeAndre, if Buffalo gets DeAndre, it's a Super Bowl-changing move. If Kansas City or Dallas or if anybody, the Titans signed him.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to move the needle much for the prognosticators about what DeAndre Hopkins would do to the Titans. You guys have played the position.
Yeah.
I haven't. He looks to me like DeAndre Hopkins when I see him out there in practice. I am expecting, it was obvious in practice that he and Tannehill were working on their chemistry the entire training camp, and I am here to tell you that I think DeAndre Hopkins could be in for a big day today.
Yeah, he can be. This is a team that last year was toward the bottom half or the bottom end of the NFL in explosive plays. I think they had like 102 total explosive plays, and that ranked in the lower half of the NFL. You add a D-Hop, he does it. He's not going to necessarily give you the explosive plays because of his speed. He has the potential to give you explosive plays because of his body control and his ability to catch the ball at different points. He gives you a wide radius to throw the football, so you don't have to necessarily be perfect when throwing DeAndre Hopkins the ball. And you can throw it up to him, and more times than not, he's going to come down with the ball. That has nothing to do with speed. It has everything to do with his ability to go up and high point a football and use his strong hands and come down with it. So this is one of those deals where you bring in D-Hop. Is he your burner? No, but he can add another dimension that you haven't had, that you thought you were getting when you brought in Woods last year because of his veteran leadership and his ability to catch those underneath passes while he was in L.A., but it just didn't amount to that last year. You're hoping you're getting that this year with a D-Hop, not just a guy that can catch underneath, but he can be a red zone target as well.
Yeah, the thing about it is, I mean, Tannehill has somebody he can trust and reliable. I mean, just imagine if they have seven or eight guys in the box. You got D-Hop on the outside. He can just throw the ball and let him make up the play. Just kind of what, you know, Derek was talking about. Because if you look at last year, look at the receivers that we had. We had Burks that had 444 yards. And we had Woods that had 527. We didn't have a guy that had 1,000 yards. Now you have Hopkins last year when he played for the Arizona Cardinals. He had 771 yards in 9 games. So it shows you that he has the potential to make the plays. It shows you they have the potential to be one-on-one coverage. But I think it's a security blanket for Tannehill to have somebody on the outside to make plays.
So here's my thing, too, about this game. You know, the Saints last year were fifth in the NFL in defense, and they were second against the pass, but they were 24th against the run. When I watched the tape, they ran the ball, the opposing teams, right up the middle, right up the middle, right up the middle, including former Titan Deontay Foreman with the Panthers, running it about 6 yards a crack in the season finale last year. Their best defensive tackle, David Onyemata, is now in Atlanta. They are kind of revamping their defensive line. We know all about Cam Jordan, and I do like Carl Granderson, the other defensive end they have in terms of rushing the passer. But we know they're going to commit to stopping Derrick Henry. They've got Marshawn Lattimore, who I expect to be on DeAndre Hopkins. I think the Titans are going to have to take the deep shot with either Burks or Okonkwo early in the game to keep the Saints' defense honest.
Well, they're going to have to do some because we know that the Saints are going to try to make this a one-dimensional game. They're going to try to stop the run. I mean, that's what every team does. It's not just the Saints. When the Titans are playing someone, they want to stop the run. They want to make you predictable. They want to make you one-dimensional and try to throw your way to a victory instead of, you know, being balanced.
But can I argue that the difference, though, is that, like, when it comes to the running game of the Saints, and I know Kamara's out, but I expect the defensive line to take care of that.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't need to commit any more resources than the defensive line to stopping the Saints' run, and if I do, then the Titans are going to have some problems. The Saints, I think we have to expect they're going to commit more than just their defensive line to stopping the Titans' run, which should leave them vulnerable to the deep shot. And now, let's say they hit a deep shot to Burks, you know, the Chris Sanders deep ball.
What'd you say?
Let's say that they hit one of those. Yeah. Now you're the Saints, and it's like, okay, what do we do with Honey Badger and Marcus May? Yep. You know, do we bring them up or do we keep them back because we're afraid of the big shot? And I do think Burks, you know, has the speed and explosion to be able to go down the field and make them pay if they decide to bring everybody up.
Yeah, but I don't think Burks is completely healthy. That's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about. If you look at when he was in camp, everybody saw him come back after the injury. But when you're a receiver, you got to stop, start. You got to run routes. You got to change directions. Can he do that? We saw some videos of him catching a one-hand pass. We saw him going through drills. But does he have that explosive that he had before he got hurt? That's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned. But there's one guy that I want to talk about that we're really not talking about that can be a common denominator in this whole situation is Tajay Spears. You know, Tajay Spears can really help this offense make some explosive plays. You go a 20 personnel, two back, zero tight ends, and three wide receivers. You put him in on a slot on either side and let him do the speed sweep and get him on the edge and make some explosive plays that way. So Tim Kelly has a lot of options. He's got a lot of playmakers, but his job is to put him in position to make those plays.
Well, I mean, you know, having those and that's going to be the big question with Tim. What am I forgetting?
Kelly.
Tim, I was about to say Tim Shaw. I'm so sorry. Not Tim Shaw. Yeah. But Tim Kelly. Tim Shaw is a trainer. He used to be an old trainer.
Yeah. Tim Shaw played on the team.
Yeah, he played on the team, but there's a trainer called Tim Shaw as well that I used to work with. Tim Kelly has to find a way to locate those playmakers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of it's going to be on Ryan Tannehill, too, because he's calling out the protections. But Tim Kelly has to identify who the playmakers are. He got to identify early and often. This defense, who I believe Dennis Allen does run, they got to show up big because this wasn't a great defense last year.
No.
And I know they probably overhauled a few players within the defensive line, but this Tennessee Titans team, they are going against the weakness of the New Orleans Saints, which is their defensive line. The strength of the Titans is their running game. Now, we say that, but the offensive line is a little shaky, more than a little shaky. They are shaky. We say that, but even with them having a shaky offensive line, I think they still manage to run the football well. So New Orleans got to find a way to stop the run. They may have to commit, like you said, Jerry, they may have to commit that extra safety in the box. And if they do that, then this is where the play action pass comes into play. This is where they can hit a guy like Treylon Burks on that 15-yard in route, 12-yard in route, and he can take it and go take a 12-yard pass into a 22 or 32-yard gain or touchdown. So the Titans got to identify who their playmakers, identify them early, and attack this defense that they don't know what kind of defense they are because they were a bad defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
They've added some new players. They're still trying to figure out who they are from a defensive standpoint as well.
last year against the Saints, DeAndre Hopkins with Arizona, 10 catches, 103, Ooh. With a long of 18. Now, Marshawn Lattimore didn't play in that game. My guess is they are going to lock Lattimore, who is a true number one corner in the NFL, who was hurt for most of last year. They're going to lock him on DeAndre Hopkins, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, but again, this is where the play calling of Tim Kelly comes in. Mm-hmm. If indeed you know they're trying to lock one-on-one with your guy, you don't put him by himself. What do? You put him in bunch. You put him in trips. You use him in motion to get the guy off of him. Now you're creating space. So if they do indeed want to get D-Hop the ball, which I know they will, watch for DeAndre Hopkins to be in a lot of, a lot of motions from him. Him being in an inside position to get that defensive back off of him.
Yeah, and then also there's a guy that we're not really talking about also is Kyaris Jackson. I mean, mm-hmm. he's one of those guys that can mm-hmm. play in the slot, catch a slant or a choice route, and make something happen because he's going to be the punt returner and kickoff returner today. So get him in space, get him the ball, let him make some plays, and that's just another weapon that Tim Kelly can use in his arsenal. I mean, yeah, they have, Burks, they have Hopkins, they got all these guys, but this guy can be a factor in this game also.
Okay, let's get to the negative part of this, the offensive line. the Saints, again, the interior of the Saints' defensive line is not that great. Mm-hmm. Cam Jordan, as a pass rusher, is a perennial Pro Bowl edge rusher. Carl Granderson on the other side finally got a chance to start last year and ended the season with 5.5 sacks, and I think he started like the last 4 games. So he, to me, has the potential to be a sacker that can hurt the Titans today. How worried are we? And for 2 reasons on the offensive line. One, running the ball early
yep.
so that they can stay out of third and long, mm-hmm. and 2, pass protection for when they are in second and third and long.
Well, again, the last time we saw the Titans offensive line against a first team defense, it didn't look good
right.
against mm-hmm. against New England. So fans take it how you want, but this offensive line, I'm worried. They're going to have to find a way. And, again, this is where Tim Kelly comes in. This is where him designing plays, helping those offensive linemen out, not putting them on islands by themselves all right. the time. I don't trust, our left and our right tackle on the island by themselves. I trust that the guard in the center with the combination, either guard when they're comboing with the center, I trust that they will get their job done. But if you're talking about leaving those two tackles on an island by themselves, I don't trust him. I didn't trust him last year. I didn't trust Nicholas because he was a young guy. I didn't trust Daly because he was just bad. This year, I don't trust these guys because they're unknown. Yeah. These are two unknown guys in the sense of playing really good, consistent, long ball. I don't know if they can do that. So the Titans got to figure out a way to not put these two guys on an island by themselves. I'm talking about the left tackle and the right tackle.
But see, and that's a big concern, D, because the thing about it is if you're going to have to go 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, now you're taking a playmaker off the mm-hmm. field on the perimeter. So he's got to make sure that these guys, these offensive tackles, you got Dillard, this left tackle, you got Hubbard, the right tackle, they got to make sure they get those guys some help because if they start getting beat, it's going to be a long day in the running game, but also in the passing game.
He's got to do a lot of chipping.
Chipping, yep,
whether
absolutely.
Whether it be with the running backs or the tight ends, just to slow down Cam Jordan and those defensive ends.
What do we think about the other guys? We've talked about Hopkins, Burks, but what about the other guys that we know are going to play a role in this offense? Westbrook Akine, Chris Moore. We've kind of touched on Tajay Spears a little bit. I mean, Trevon Wesco is probably going to get a lot of snaps as that blocking type tight end that they have to help out with those tackles. What are kind of the expectations of the supporting cast of the main guys on offense?
Well, they're going to have to step up. Chris Moore is a guy yeah. that I'm looking to step up in his offense.
You've been high on him.
Yeah, I've been high on him, and he's shown some good flashes during the preseason. So I expect him to continue to immerse himself in his offense, become a viable option for Ryan Tannehill. And then guys like Tajay Spears getting out the backfield, whether it be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, making that one or two catches that he finds himself making every game to move the chains. And guys outside of Chigakonkwo, You know, they got to step up and make plays because the defense is going to be zeroing in on a few guys, whether it be Derrick Henry, Chigga Conquell, and Treylon Burks. Those other guys that you mentioned, Jared, and I know you will talk about Chris, those are the guys. They got to step up and make plays. Chris Moore got to step up and make plays. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine got to continue to be an option, a reliable option for Ryan Tannehill. And then the guys behind them, they got to continue to step up because a lot of focus is going to be made on D-Hop, Chig, and Treylon.
Yeah, and then the thing about it is also, too, is they don't know. We don't know how long that Burks is going to last.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that too.
I'm telling you, when you're playing wide receiver and you have a knee injury, you got to start and stop. You got to change directions. So he may change directions and get hurt a little bit and come out the first quarter. So NWI is going to have to make plays. Kyaris Jackson is going to have to make plays. And whoever's in that position is going to have to step up and make plays because you can't have the same situation to where all the receivers are out and you have zero depth.
Last one, quickly, who's going to be the backup quarterback? We'll know in about 15 minutes. Who's going to be the backup quarterback today?
I think it'll be Malik Willis. I think he's shown everything. And it's unfortunate.
Well, you baby Malik.
But it's the truth. It's the truth. He deserved it. Yep. What he has done in preseason and in camp and the games that we saw him, he's gotten better. Unfortunately for Will Levis, he got hurt.
Yep.
You know, and from what I've seen on the field, in the time that I've seen these guys play, Malik Willis has earned the backup role. Now, that's not to say that in three or four games, Will Levis isn't a backup, but I'm saying right now, I feel more comfortable with Malik Willis as the backup and Levis as your third than Levis being your backup.
I think Malik Willis should be it, but in my opinion, in my gut, I think they're going to make Will Levis number two.
I think it'll be Levis, too.
I think it's going to be Levis, and that's the hard part about it. And I just think that's going to be disappointing if they put.
Well, I don't want either one of them to play. Let me say that.
We'll flip it on the other side. We'll talk about the defense. Derek Carr making his debut with the Saints. We'll do that. We are live from Twin Peaks out in Madison. Come on out to Twin Peaks for all of your NFL Sunday football watching with, again, the 29-degree drafts, which right now, according to the scoreboard here, 27.2 on the beers. So come on out again. That's Twin Peaks out here in Madison. We are live. It's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the defensive playbook here live out at Twin Peaks in Madison for the pregame show. Guys, I think we know that the Titans' defense is going to be pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, in all seriousness, in spite of everything that happened last year with all of the injuries and the quarterbacks they had to play, they were pretty good last year for the most part. Now everybody's healthy. Bud Dupree, perpetually injured, he's out. In is Arden Key. Azeez Al-Shaair in. David Long Jr. out. And the Titans right now not dealing with any injuries outside of Trey Avery, who will be inactive for this game with a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr makes his Saints debut. How do we feel about the defense going into today's game?
I mean, I feel good about them. This defense.
But now, you don't feel great.
I don't feel great. I mean, this is, again.
So why do you feel good but not great?
Because of the secondary.
Yeah. Yep.
That's and then, you know, as often injured as David Long Jr. was, he was a hell of a coverage linebacker. Yep. That was one guy we knew. Can cover a back out the backfield, can cover a tight end, and at times you can put him over your slot guy. He was a guy that ran sideline for sideline, but he was often injured. Do they have that guy this year? We think Azeez can be that guy. I believe he can be that guy, but they need to show it. All these linebackers have to have the capability because of the way the NFL is played now. And in particular, this game with Jamal Williams. This is a guy who scored 17 touchdowns last year for the Detroit Lions, had over 1,000 yards. So this is he's not Alvin Kamara, but he's like I don't want to say a poor man's Alvin Kamara, but he's like a notch down from Alvin Kamara because he still can do the type of things that they were asking Alvin to do. Probably not at that level, but he can do them. So those linebackers are going to have to, you know, do a good job this game at covering those backs and those tight ends out the backfield. Again, David Long Jr. was excellent at doing that, but he was often injured. So that's why I think this is a good a defense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's a great defense yet. I need to see it starting with this game today with the New Orleans Saints.
You know, I think that front is going to really stop, you know, the run game. I know they're going to stop. I know Jamal Williams is probably going to have a couple of yards, but I think overall I think they're going to stop the run. The only thing I'm concerned about is giving Derek Carr life. I mean, you give him life, he's got a lot to prove. I mean, just like I said earlier, he threw for 24 touchdowns and 14 interceptions last year. So I think that he still has a lot to prove to show the league that he can play, show his coaches that he can play, and they can't give up their explosive plays. I talked about it earlier. Chris Olave, a guy from The Ohio State University, had over 1,000 yards and can make the explosive plays. So if they just stop the run like they're capable of doing and don't give up the explosive plays in the back end.
So I am not worried about the secondary as a whole in the game because I don't think the secondary will be stressed simply because I think the defensive line is going to just overpower the Saints offensive line, which has a bunch of high draft choices on it, but I don't think it's very good. What I am worried about, though, is in a tight game, one or two explosive plays could be the difference. And early in the season, you guys know this, they don't practice tackling.
Right.
And so, you know, tackling and the technique, that may be a little off. And the Saints do have explosive players. You mentioned Olave, and he's the one who scares me the most. But Shaheed, the third wide receiver, is very much an explosive player. And if your game plan is, hey, we're not going to let Olave beat us, or, you know, we're not going to let Michael Thomas catch 19 passes or whatever, once you get past that, you know, Shaheed is probably a little bit down on the list. And so I am worried about the only thing I'm worried about today defensively is the explosive play. And Carr can throw it. You know, Carr, he's got his problems, but he can make every single throw on the field. The problem is he can also throw you the ball on the field, and he struggles for some reason in the red zone. But as far as, you know, putting a ball like on the outside, where he can do that. And so if this is a close game and all of a sudden you're up by 4 or 6 points late, because you've played a good defensive game overall, but we know the Titans' offense is a little work in progress. Now all of a sudden it's one explosive play, one breakdown in coverage, one poor tackling, one of those things, and you lose. And that's what scares me today.
Yeah, that's what we had last year. You know, guys out of position. I can remember
two plays.
I remember that play Bud Dupree went inside instead of going outside. And when he went inside to try to make a play and be a hero, then Saquon Barkley went outside,
you hate
and
him.
Away you go. I mean, I didn't hate Bud Dupree, but my thing was, dude, they're paying you this much money, and you are not playing up to that ability. Even when you're healthy, you still don't play to the ability that the Titans that the money that the Titans gave you. I was never, you know, a big Bud Dupree fan. Was he a good player at times? Yes. But he could have been so much better, I think, within this defense that the Titans played. And he just wasn't. So the Titans can't have those undisciplined mistakes where if it calls for you to go outside, then play your gap, go outside. Trust that the guys inside is going to make the play. You can't, if it's called for you to go outside, you can't jump inside and then let a run spill outside on you. You can't do that.
And I don't want Shane Bourne to just start blitzing. You don't need to blitz because all of a sudden you start blitzing, you have man-to-man on the outside. You don't want to do that with Olave or Williams been playing in the slot. So I don't want Shane Bourne to start blitzing and trying to create pressure. It's just let your defensive front create pressure by that front four, that 3-4. Just let them make plays and in the back end just make sure you cover.
Okay, what do we think of Carr?
I think Carr's a good quarterback. I think Carr's a good quarterback that you can make look elite.
Who would you rather have, Carr or Tannehill?
Either. Ooh. Just flip a coin with me. It doesn't matter because both of them, to me, are sort of the same type of quarterback. I do believe that Derek Carr throws a better deep ball than Ryan Tannehill, but I think Ryan Tannehill has some of those other tangibles. Ryan Tannehill can get outside the pocket, create with his legs. Derek Carr hasn't been throughout his career that type of guy. But he will try to fit a ball through a pinhole, and he throws an excellent ball downfield. So you flip a coin. You give me whichever quarterback.
The thing that's crazy,
and I'll be fine.
Tannehill is an infinitely better quarterback in the red zone. In tight spots, in tight window, Tannehill's better. Throwing the ball deep, absolutely, it's Carr. I think that they're kind of different. I think Tannehill and Andy Dalton are more like the – who was their quarterback last year – more like the – throw for 215 in a game, not make mistakes, put you in the right spot, put the ball where it needs to be, not going to target one receiver, just throw it to the open guy, move the chains, and then kind of let the Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara win the game. I think Carr is like Kirk Cousins, where Carr can go out and throw for 400 yards and lose.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the kind of – he can stuff the stat sheet. I think the Titans are going to play the bend but don't break defense today, where I wouldn't be surprised to see the Saints moving the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Titans try to hole up Carr inside the red zone where he has struggled traditionally. That would not surprise me if that's something the Titans end up doing today.
You know, I think Carr's a pretty good, you know, quarterback. I mean, I love what he does. He's poised.
I think he's a fine quarterback. Yeah, I think he's like Tannehill, Cousins. Like, mm-hmm. he's not in the group of Mahomes, Allen, Burrow.
No, not at all.
But he's probably not in that second group, like the Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert. Like, he's probably not there either, but then he's in that third group.
I just think that the thing that concerns me, and I kind of said it earlier, is that he has something to prove. And when you have a guy that's something to prove, that wants to prove to the league that he can play, I think he's going to come in and try to set the league on fire. I mean, I know he had a disappointing run with the Raiders. Now he has.
Well, he got fired by the Raiders.
But that still leaves a bad taste.
Absolutely.
That leaves a bad taste in your mouth as a player, as a competitor, as a guy who wants to win. So I you better believe he's going to get this offense fired up and say, you know what, I have a fresh new start, and I'm going to come in here and try to lead you guys to making some plays.
So we should know on the other side.
Uh-huh.
What you see?
We should know
who?
Who the backup quarterback is.
What you see?
We'll have the inactives and the injury report, plus
what you see?
One other matchup in this game that I don't feel like anybody's talking about at all.
Brewer?
We'll get to that coming up next. Right here, it's the award-winning pregame show live from Twin Peaks out here in Madison. Once again, come on out and watch the game. We've got 30-degree drafts right now. Again, I'm looking at this live-time scoreboard where they show you what the beers are at any given moment. Again, that's Twin Peaks in Madison. Come on out. We're live. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Twin Peaks out in Madison. Again, come on out and see us. Twin Peaks, by the way, will be the home of our away game pregame shows, the award-winning pregame show. We should have brought the trophy
exactly.
with us.
We should have.
For best outstanding or most outstanding local coverage this pregame show. We should have brought the trophy with us. But we will alternate between here and the Cool Springs location for the away games. We're very, very excited about that. We are awaiting the Titans and Actives, which are due 90 minutes before kickoff. So the fact that they haven't come out yet, we got them. Here are the Titans inactives today against the Saints. Wide receiver Colton Dowell is inactive. Corner Trey Avery. Outside backer Caleb Murphy. Offensive lineman Dylan Radens. Offensive lineman Jalen Duncan. And defensive lineman Jaden Peavy, along with quarterback Will Levis.
So Will Levis is inactive.
Malik Willis is your backup quarterback. Who wants to react to that news first?
He earned it.
Absolutely.
I mean, plain and simple.
Yes, he earned
the right to be the backup quarterback.
He did.
Now, like you said, he needs to learn how to take care of the football. I think his trouble is he's trying to make the perfect pass on some of those interceptions. And you know, at times you just got to just throw the football. Instead of trying to make the perfect throw, just throw the football or take the check down. He did a lot of really, really good things during the preseason, but he had some few things that he needs to clear up. But all in all, and it's unfortunate for Will Levis because he got hurt.
Yeah.
But in his league, listen, if you're not on the field – there to prove yourself week in and week out, then you can't expect to win a job.
You can't expect to win a starting job
or a backup job if you can't be on the field to help out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be available, and if you're not available, then you can't make plays. And I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna throw this out here to y'all. Y'all may think I'm right or wrong. I think they got a little package for Malik Willis.
I hope not. I think they got a little package.
I'm just throwing out there. I want your stomach to hurt right now.
We didn't talk about Taysom Hill.
Uh-huh.
But they always run those little packages for him. And when I watched the tape of the Saints the last four games last year, it drove me crazy that, like, every four or five plays, they'd run one of those plays where Andy Dalton would go to receiver and Taysom Hill would take the snap. And I just thought it was such a waste of an offensive play. They never did anything important that Andy Dalton couldn't have done when they did that. Do not run the gimmick packages for Malik. Do not take time during the week to practice them. And do not then try to say, you know what? let's take the ball out of you know, like the Chiefs ran that stupid tight end sneak or whatever on third or fourth and one the other day. You get the best quarterback in the planet. You're going to take the ball out of his hands? Stupid. Don't do that. Do not run a package for Malik.
I do not
want Malik to play in the game. I want when the final sheet comes out, and I'd be saying the same thing about Levis, when the final sheet comes out, the participation report, I want a did not participate for Malik Willis.
Hey, tell him how you really feel. Tell him how you really feel. Tell the fans
I do
how you
not
really
want
feel.
Him to play in this game at all, even if that means covering a kickoff. The only way that I would be okay with Malik Willis playing is if the Titans are up 55-10, and I do not foresee that happening, but I would take it if it did
happen.
Would
you let him come out for victory formation?
Well, normally they have Tannehill do that.
No, but just let him get in the game.
In a 55-10 game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Then he can play. But other than that, I do not want to see him. You start talking about a package for Malik. No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. Do you think it's a disappointment that Will Levis was drafted in the second round? And even with the injury that slowed him down at the end of camp, that he's not the backup quarterback?
It's probably disappointing to him as a individual and as a player, but it's rewarding to Malik Willis that he's done enough and he hopes to continue to get better, that he has at this point has won the backup role. Now for the team, I don't know. I don't know how Rand Carthon or Mike Vrabel. If I am to go by what I've heard from these two, then they're not disappointed, because ultimately, what do you want? The best players on the field.
Absolutely.
Whether that be my, guy I drafted in the second round or a guy that I drafted in the third or fourth round that looked like hot garbage last year, but this year he looks much better. So, the best guy will get on the field. The guy that is more available will get on the field, and Malik Willis has been that guy.
And he earned it.
Yeah, he earned it.
Yeah,
I know, Jared. I know what you're going to say.
No, D-Mac, he earned it.
He earned it.
Can you tell me
he played better?
To earn it?
He played better.
No, he played.
Yes, he played, and he played better.
He
in
did
practice.
Not play better. He
no,
played.
Yes,
Levis did not play.
Stop. No, but even in practice, you got Will Levis that played well in one practice. The next day, he was inconsistent.
Malik, though.
Malik Willis, listen, the coaching staff deemed that he was the backup. He showed enough to this coaching staff and to the GM that he earned the right to be the backup quarterback. Now, it's unfortunate for Will Levis that he got hurt, but that's not Malik Willis's fault.
Absolutely.
Malik did the job he was supposed to do, get better. Show us that you're going to get better. If he hadn't shown them he wasn't – if he didn't win the job to be the backup – I don't think he would be on his team. I honestly don't believe he would be on his team. But because he played so well, he earned that backup role. I'm not going to say it's going to be like that way forever, but as of now, today, he has earned that backup role to be the Titans' second quarterback.
You know, Derek, you said some key words. You said they showed him. He showed him. Mm-hmm. He showed him in practice. He showed him in the meeting rooms. And if you look at from last year he was making bad decisions. Look at the improvement that he had when he came into OTAs and when he came into camp. He was making those better decisions. You're looking mad over there.
Me?
look like you're about to chew
he
some wood.
He turns the ball over too much.
Levis does too.
No, he doesn't.
Stop it.
Levis turned the ball over once.
Yes,
too.
Yeah,
yes,
but that was
does.
It. Should have
like,
been
that
twice.
That was like a Hail Mary kind
of. No, it wasn't a Hail Mary. It was a bad throw.
Bad
throw. He should have hit the guy underneath, but he tried to go
and
for the home
the
run pass, and he threw an interception. But again, those are things that rookies tend to do. And Willis did a lot of that last year, and he minimized that this year. Now, the hopes is he go from doing it a lot to minimizing it to not doing it at all. Those are the three phases that you hope your quarterback goes through. Will Levis is the same thing. He showed some promise, but he showed that he is a rookie quarterback as well. It's unfortunate for him that he got injured.
Are y'all down, though, on the idea of Levis being the franchise quarterback of the future?
I'm not down. He's young. I mean, he has his. He's going to have his opportunity to win that starting role, and it will come next year. Not this year. Hopefully, I pray it doesn't come, because that means Ryan Tannehill has gotten hurt. But he's going to have this whole year, the whole offseason, to prove that he is the franchise quarterback for this Tennessee
Titans. And I think it's going to make him better, too, because now he's going to have a chance to sit and learn. If you look at Malik Willis, he didn't have a chance to come and sit and learn. He had to play, you know, in the game against Kansas City with a bad offensive line and also with some the receivers that weren't in the game. Now Levis has a chance to learn how to do it in the NFL, learn from Tanning. He'll learn from these guys on how to be a pro quarterback. So, at the end, I know he's inactive. I know he's not playing or second on the depth chart, but I think he's going to be a better quarterback for in this situation.
Do you think Vrabel will get asked about this? Not after the game today, but probably tomorrow. Vrabel will get asked about the decision of Willis over Levis.
Oh, he's going to get asked about it today, I'm sure.
I don't think so.
After the game, I think so.
Well, everybody's going to be wanting to ask about what happened in the game.
But then I think that's going
and
to
And I think
come
we all
up.
Hope that it doesn't come up because if it does, that means that they might have had to play one of them.
That's a good point. I hope not. You're right. It definitely will come up this upcoming week. Definitely.
What do you think of Sam?
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up today.
What do you think he said?
That Malik Willis earned a job, but they're going to continue to, you know, I'm not going to say monitor the situation, but they're going to continue to give both guys an opportunity. I think they're going to do this week by week with the backup quarterback.
Here's
whoever
what I
looks
think
good in practice, that's who's going to be the guy that's up.
Here's what I think he'll say. Ask me the question.
So, do you want me to call you Jared, or do you want me to call you
say coach.
Yeah, coach, okay. Coach, so what went through your mind when you named or what were the reasons why you named Malik Willis your backup quarterback instead of Will Levis, the second-round pick?
You know, we just just decided to do that and just kind of go from there on that. You know that's exactly what he's gonna do.
Sounds just like him.
Can I ask you a question, coach? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If Tanning Hill was to go down, do you feel comfortable with Malik Willis getting in the game?
Next question.
I mean, we feel comfortable with everybody that we put on the roster. That's why we have him here. You know, just like we feel comfortable with Tajay going in the game at running back, or Chris or Nick going in at receiver, or, Jaden Peavy going in on the defense. I mean, they wouldn't be here if we didn't feel comfortable.
Sir, I'm talking about the quarterback.
I'm telling you that in my experience in the NFL, we're confident in everybody that we put out there. Jim Wyatt, you got a question? Out for the Saints today, inactive receiver A.T. Perry, running back Kendre Miller, which really means they're just down to Jamal Williams because Alvin Kamara also is out. Defensive back J.T. Gray, defensive end Isaiah Folksy, and guard Nick Salvadivieri.
Folksy's out. Oh, man.
You don't even know who that is.
I have no idea.
Coming up next, we go live to the Caesars Superdome where TD is standing by. Teron Davenport will get the latest, including the most important thing for me, the range of the kicker. We'll do that coming up next, live from Twin Peaks out in Madison. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. From Twin Peaks out here in Madison, it is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As always, we check in at the stadium at the Caesars Superdome with Teron Davenport. ESPN joins us now live from the Superdome, presented by Beast Unleash. Zero caffeine, zero sugar, all the adult beverage fun. TD, I teased this going to the break that we were going to ask you when you popped on. Give me the kicker's range. How has Nick Folk looked so far in warmups? What's the range, TD?
Nick Folk has actually looked good. I saw him hit from 45, from 50. He's actually kicking one from 47 right now, and it's good with a room to spare. It was in the net.
Okay, in the net from 47. That's like good from like 54.
You got to tell your friend in Boston that, get tested for drugs.
Did it have trajectory on it? Was it a low line drive? What did we see there?
No, it had some pop to it. It wasn't a line drive. It was like, you know, a regular kick with trajectory. I'm moving over behind the goalpost now. I'm going to see exactly how his next one looks. But, I mean, right now he's kicking from 52. So we're going to see how this one looks.
TD with the play-by-play.
That's it. Here we go. Coming up, we're about to see.
Give it to us, TD.
Oh, yeah,
give us your mic.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. Now they tell me to watch the ball. They don't want it to hit me. The Mike Keith, well, I got to get ready to yell sack because I think Mike Keith is going to yell sack. you'll have to excuse me, man. I'm just happy. It's week one, man. It's absolutely so great to be back here in the mix, man. This is heaven. Heaven on earth, man.
Has he made the 52-yard kick?
Made it with room to spare.
Oh!
There you go, Jerry. Your answers are – your questions are answered right there.
Hey, stop the show.
Your prayers. All right, let's go home.
This is how we win the award-winning coverage for
right.
best pregame show or
no,
whatever.
No,
right
other, no other pregame gives you play-by-play of the kicker, kick and field goals. You will not get it anywhere else, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you stay tuned in to us each and every week.
There you go. All right, TD. What do we make of Malik Willis as a backup quarterback?
Well, I mean, this is to be expected. Will Levis, I think he's a really good prospect. He's a solid player. But there just wasn't enough time for him to make his mark the way that he needed to in order to secure that spot. And Malik Willis, you know, he came in as the number two, and it was going to be a competition. But injuries just kind of robbed Levis of the opportunity to compete. So it is what it is. But, I mean, you know, I think also that gives them a little bit of a competitive advantage in that you have the Malik Willis package that, you know, opposing teams have to prepare for. So it doesn't surprise me that he's the number two.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. He is at Caesar Stadium there in New Orleans.
Superdome.
Superdome, yes. Superdome.
Yeah.
Awaiting the Tennessee Titans versus the New Orleans Saints today in about an hour, I would say, or less. TD, what are your keys for today's game?
Yeah, you know, the key for today's game is to really lock in on avoiding the explosive plays defensively. Chris Olave is a very explosive receiver. Rashid Shaheed is as well. And obviously Michael Thomas is back, so they'll work that short passing game. You just got to be careful that you don't bite up. You know, Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker, they got to make sure that they don't key in on that, allowing the big play to happen behind them. I think that's really important. Stop the run. But above all else, whether it's defense or offense, they need to have a very good first drive because this stadium is going to – in fact, I'll tell you this, guys. I've been to Seattle. I've been to Kansas City. I've been here. This stadium is the loudest I've ever heard.
Wow.
And obviously, you know, that's going to be the case because it's a dome. But, I mean, the decibel level. So they got to take that crowd out. I asked Derrick Henry about that on Thursday, and he said he takes pleasure in, you know, having that first drive where you just run the football and you put it down their throats, and that takes the crowd away. So that's what they have to do.
Now, is there any worry of us seeing another Chandler Jones-type day from Cam Jordan? Because not necessarily, you know, Chandler did that 2 years ago. But because of the way the offensive line is, this is an offensive line that we thought was getting a little bit better. But then watching them against New England's first-team defense, it looks exactly like it did last season. So is there any worry of a potential Chandler Jones-type play?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's why, Jared, we talked on Thursday, Jared, about Trevon Wesco and how important he is for this game. And he's a guy they're going to attach to Chris Hubbard, to Andre Dillard, and make sure that he is able to help out as far as the protection is concerned. I think that's why you'll see a lot of play action, too, because, you know, you go play action, you get that max protection. So, you know, that'll give them time to run those passing plays. So, I mean, that worry is definitely there. I would be concerned about it, but, you know, they're going to have to scheme ways to get guys open quickly and make sure that ball gets out of Tannehill's hands and into guys like Treylon Burks and those guys into their hands.
You know, TD, just looking at this offense, you got some explosive players. You got Burks, you got Henry, you got Chig, you got Spears. What are some of the things that Tim Kelly can do to make sure to get these playmakers the ball?
Yeah, he really – what he has to do is just, you know, you got switch releases and those type of things, spreading the field out. Tajay Spears motioning him out wide, finding different ways, like I said, to get the ball out of Tannehill's hands quickly into the hands of, these playmakers. I think that's the most important thing. And Nick Foles just hit a 55-yarder just now. Nick Foles. That's the key thing that they have to make sure that they do, man. You got to account for the bad protection. And I think, you know, if you work less, longer developing plays, I think that gives them the opportunity to, you know, maximize what their guys could do. You know, DeAndre Hopkins. That Hopkins versus Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, that's pay-per-view TV right there in itself.
You know, TD, just looking at this offensive line, everybody was concerned. Everybody's concerned about, you know, the different makeup of his offensive line. Do you think if both tackles start struggling, Hubbard and Dillard start struggling, do you think they'll go like a more 12 personnel to protect those tackles?
I mean, they're going to have to. I think they'll go 12 personnel also, just because you want Chig as a factor in the passing game. You know what I mean? So you can have that 12 personnel with Chig as more of a pass catcher, but Wesco as a guy to help out in protection.
TD, as always, great stuff from the Dome. We look forward to your full breakdown, and, of course, we'll be talking to you throughout the week.
Appreciate you, Sam.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Xavier McDaniel, thanks a lot, man.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay.
I throw the towel.
TD with the official play-by-play. The accounts and descriptions of this pregame show may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Stillman & Company on 102.5. Okay. Nick Folk hit from 52, and he hit from 55, according to TD. I expect him to make them in the game.
Yeah, I do too.
If he doesn't make them in the game now, I'm going to have a problem. He's in a dome.
Uh-huh.
He apparently doesn't have this old peep-pop leg that we thought that he had. I'm going to expect him to make those in the game.
Well, he's going to have to. I mean,
he has no choice.
He has no choice, Jared, because if he misses one,
you're going to let him know.
Jared will let him know.
Oh, I will let him know.
Tell him how you feel.
That I will let him know about. You know, there's one little element that I don't think he eventually talked about of this game, which is the coaching matchup. And so on one side, you've got Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen has been a head coach in the NFL. Now, this will be his fifth-ish season because he was fired after four games, starting 0-4 as his third year with the Raiders. And he coached last year. They won seven games. He's won 15 games through three-plus years as a head coach in the NFL. Like, Vrabel drives me a little crazy sometimes, and I'm sure I drive him a little crazy, too.
Uh-huh. All the time.
But I think Vrabel's a tremendous coach. How much of a factor is that in this game? Or is it really not that much of a factor going into week one?
I mean, I guess it depends on what type of game it is.
The thing is talking to former players, I already know that I'm going to get the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, but coaches, it comes down to those one or two plays within the game, critical plays, you know, that every head coach that's not a primary play caller, you know, a head coach that's a primary play caller has his hands on the offense and what they're doing throughout the game. But I think guys like Vrabel, there's one or two situations in games is either do I challenge something or do we go for a field goal right here or do we choose to go for it? Those are, I think, the two situations that are going to separate Dennis Allen from Mike Vrabel. I think, you know, the teams will sort of dictate what happens. But I think it's going to be those decisions, whether it's to call a timeout at a certain point of the game, to decide to kick a field goal, or to elect to punt. Which coach is going to make the right decision at that critical time in the game that's going to help push his team over the edge?
I mean, I agree 100%. That's kind of what I wrote down in my notes, the situation of football. If they're going to punt it, take a field goal, or go for it on fourth down. I mean, a lot of times the head coaches don't really focus on the other stuff, what the other coordinators are doing. They're focusing on, should we go out on fourth down? Should we make the challenge? Things like that. And in my opinion, sometimes Mike Vrabel struggles on that, to go for it or to go for the field goal. So I think that if Mike Vrabel makes the right decision, I think the Titans can be successful.
I mean, we got videos of Nick Folk making field goals from.
Did TD send it?
I mean, look at that. Look at that right there.
He's ready, Jared. He's ready.
Oh, right down the pipe.
Jared, he's ready. He's ready.
That's all we need.
Oh, he said he worked on it during the offseason. TD asked Craig Aukerman this week. He goes, what does that mean, working on his kickoffs? Like, what is that, just like kicking the ball? Like, what is that?
Hey, listen, I'm not a kicker, so I can't tell you what working at kicking entails. I guess it just entails a lot of kicking.
Is it like kickball?
Kind of, sort of, I guess.
Instead I think of, it's like instead of somebody the rolling it, it, the better you get at it.
Instead of somebody rolling it, you got it in your hands already. Or somebody hiking it to you.
I have no
the
idea.
Guy's hitting the crossbar from 44 last year, and now all of a sudden he's drilling it from 60. They need to take him out back with the little cup and see if something's the up. But I'm kidding.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if he misses two of them in the game?
Oh, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go crazy. If he misses kicks today, I'll go nuts.
Right.
If he makes them, I will give credit where credit's due, which I have always done in my professional career. Speaking of credit where credit is due, coming up next, picks to click.
I forgot all about it.
Who is going to click today for a Titans victory? We will get to that coming up next. By the way, TD on the program is brought to you by Beast Unleashed. Zero caffeine, zero sugar, all the adult beverage fun. That's Beast Unleashed. Live from Twin Peaks out here in Madison, where, of course, the beer is 28.2 degrees Fahrenheit right now. So come on out. The doors open here in just a little bit. Come on out for all your football watching out to Twin Peaks. It is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Picks to Click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment on the program. If you are new to the award-winning pregame show, the way Picks to Click works, we take who is going to click for the Titans on offense, who is going to click for the Titans on defense, and then we make fun of whoever Chris takes because it's always somebody kooky or kind of crazy. And the one rule that we have had for like the last season or so is that nobody is allowed to pick Derrick Henry.
You pick him every week, man.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying those are the rules. So the rules are nobody's allowed to pick Derrick Henry. We all know that if the Titans are going to win, Derrick Henry's going to have to play well. I think we can all agree. So without further ado, Chris Sanders, who clicks today on offense for the Titans?
I am going to go with Treylon Burks. And the reason why I'm going to go with Treylon Burks is because Lattimore is going to be on D-Hop, and that's going to create a matchup with Burks to go against Paulson Adebo. He's got to make plays. So if D-Hop gets covered by Lattimore, I think Burks has to be big on the outside to make some explosive plays for Tannehill.
I actually think that Treylon Burks has the potential in this game, and he may be matched up against Alante Taylor, the second-year guy out of Tennessee. I think that Treylon Burks – I expect DeAndre Hopkins to catch probably about 7 or 8 passes today, Burks to catch about 3 or 4, but I could see Burks having more yards and that being a good thing for the Titans to keep the Saints honest defensively. D-Mace.
I think my guy is I can name D-Hop, I can name, you know, Treylon, but I think Tajay Spears is going to be the guy that clicks this week. I think he's going to be in a position where they are they will allow him to be a difference maker in what they want to do offensively. He's shown in preseason that he can run between the tackles. He's shown that he can catch the football. This is a point in their offense that they – I'm not going to say they didn't have it last year because they did. They just didn't use it as much as they should have. And with Tim Kelly as the new offensive coordinator, he better damn well use the ability of Tajay Spears to get outside of those tackles to catch passes in the passing game and also run between the tackles, use them on the screen game as well.
And then also it takes the pressure off Derrick Henry. He doesn't have to carry the ball 40 or 50 times. Now you got a guy that's a home run hitter that can make those explosive plays.
How much do we expect to see Spears and Henry on the field together?
If you're talking about the 100% offense, I would say at least 20% of the offense.
Mine's going to be Derrick Henry. I can't. My pick to click today is Peter Skoronski. I'm going to tell you why. The last year, the Saints were 24th in the league in yards allowed per in rushing. Now, they have a solid pass defense. This game is going to be decided late on whether or not the Titans can run the football and maintain possession, and I think they're going to run that ball behind Big Peter Skoronski. I think that of all the guys on the line, I think, you know, best case scenario for Dillard is that he just holds his own. You know, he's not going to take anybody out, but just keep the quarterback from getting killed. Brewer, he's 270 pounds or whatever he is. Brunskill, he's kind of a back. Skoronski is the guy who has elite talent on that offensive line. And at the end of the day, we know how the Titans are going to win. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense. Hopefully they can clean up the special teams, which has stunk for a long, long time. Hopefully they can clean that up. So I'm going to go with Peter Skoronski today. I also think with the two edge rushers the Saints have, the game plan will probably call for a lot of stepping up by Ryan Tannehill. And I expect Peter Skoronski to be a big part of the pass protection to allow Tannehill to step up.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to be a big part of what they do, because I think he's probably their best offensive lineman. Yeah. I like Aaron Brewer. Brent Aaron Brewer is just light in the backside. And I know New Orleans is going to try to
and
exploit.
The front side.
And the front side. I know New Orleans is going to try to exploit that. So goes to what you said about Peter Skoronski. That combination block with him and Aaron Brewer are going to have to be critical in what the Titans do, not just from a run standpoint, but more importantly from a pass standpoint.
Yeah, and then also he's physical. I mean, from day one when they put on the pads, I mean, he's just running through people. And I love what he does. His technique is good. His drop step is good. Everything he's done from day one has been special for this offensive line.
Defense, Chris Sanders.
Let's go. I'm going with Christian Fulton. The reason I'm going with Christian Fulton, because he's got to cover Olave. Olave's from what school, Jarrett?
The Ohio State University.
Where they just bring out wide receivers. But I think Fulton wants to be that shutdown corner. He wants to be that guy that can be one of the top corners in the league. And this is a great test for him to shut down a great wide receiver from in the league.
I think it's just going to be those linebackers in general. I've already pointed out Aziz. I think if you're going to put D and L's on people's jersey, he deserves that D, because he is definitely a dog. Arden Key has to show up big. Harold Landry, I know he may be on a pitch count, but he's going to have to generate some type of pass rush against this New Orleans Saints offensive line. So, to me, the linebackers, they're going to have to be able to cover Jamal Williams coming out the backfield. That is going to be big on what I believe Dennis Allen and that New Orleans Saints team is going to want to do.
Is Williams a pass catcher, though?
He's not an Alvin Kamara.
Sure.
But he's a guy that's capable. If you're not paying attention to him, he can catch the ball out the backfield. And once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a good runner. Is he Kamara? No, he's not. But he still gives them the ability to do some of those things that Alvin Kamara was doing.
But, Jared, Williams is not going to run the route tree. You know what I'm saying? He's going to run like a flare or like a hitch or something like that, or a bubble. He's not going to run a seven route. He's not going to run a post or a seam. They're just going to get him those quick hitters to let him make those plays.
My pick to click defensively is Kevin Byard. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I think the Titans are going to overpower the Saints offensive line with their defensive line. I think Derek Carr, you know, he is very averse early in games to turning the football over, but in tight windows, he has struggled traditionally, especially against the Titans, including last year where Byard had an interception in the end zone on a ball that should have been probably caught by Darren Waller and got tipped up into the air. I think that the Titans secondary is going to have to force a turnover or two today. The defensive line will give them the opportunity to do that. And so I really wanted to pick both safeties and be like Derek and say, you know, I'll take Hooker and Byard, but pick to click is a one-player thing,
and
Floyd. So I wanted to pick both safeties, but I'm going to take Kevin Byard simply because I think that in this game, not only is Byard going to have to be responsible for playing that center field at times, but also Jawan Johnson, the tight end that the Saints have, he can be a matchup problem. He is big. He is physical. He's a lot like what Jonnu Smith was here in terms of the athleticism at the tight end position. And we know, you know, with Carr's pass, he likes to check it down quickly without Kamara in there. I think he will be kind of checking it down safety-wise to the tight end. So Byard may be a big part of covering that.
So is Simmons like Derrick Henry? Well, we can't.
No, you
pick
can pick
Simmons.
Him. Oh, you can pick Simmons.
Okay, you can pick Simmons.
The thing
I was
though,
just making sure.
Simmons has never had 10 sacks in a season.
Yeah, you're right.
Simmons, you know, his wrecking, I think, you know, to me, they're like a baseball lineup, you know, the defensive line, where it's like, I don't know who's going to be on base, but whoever is, They just need, the other guy needs to knock him in. So if Simmons knocks the guy back, then the outside backers coming around needs to tackle the quarterback. If the outside backers force the quarterback up into the pocket, then the two guys inside need to sack the quarterback.
He reminds me, Jeffrey Simmons reminds me of a young Jerry Ball. I don't know if anyone of y'all
who
remember.
Who in the hell Jerry is Ball. Jerry Ball?
Jerry Ball used to play for the Detroit Lions. Jerry Ball was a wrecking ball in the middle of the defense. Did he get a lot of sacks? No, he didn't get a lot of sacks. But he controlled the line of scrimmage from the nose tackle position. That's what Simmons is able to do. Does he get double-digit sacks? No. But he gets enough pressure on the quarterback by pushing the guard or center into the quarterback, right, where it helps those guys on the outside. You talked about earlier Ryan Tannehill. If they get up the field, he should be able to step up, and that's key for Skoronski and Aaron Brewer. Well, it's the same thing goes for Simmons. Once Simmons pushed that guy into the quarterback, into Derek Carr, he has nowhere to go because those two ends are coming up for you, Arden Key and Harold Landry. So it's going to be critical for Simmons to continue to get that push where the quarterback cannot step up. Today's defense, quarterbacks hate when they cannot step up.
Yep.
They've gotten used to those guys rushing on the end now. They can kind of do some things to get away from those guys. When I can't step up as a quarterback, my whole day's ruined.
I think the Saints' interior of their offensive line is – better in terms of
they just
of
gave
name.
Somebody a big contract.
They gave Ruiz, and I don't think he's very good.
Just gave him a huge
contract. They're bigger in like name recognition and in pick value because they were high picks than I think they are football players.
Mm.
I am not a fan of the Saints' offensive line, and they have invested a bunch of high picks into that offensive line. And Ruiz, you know, TD and I were talking about Eric McCoy, who's the center, and Ruiz, who's the guard. Ruiz was a first round pick, McCoy was a second round pick, and you know, TD is much higher on Eric McCoy than I am, but I can give you McCoy. But Ruiz, we were talking about, and then they just gave him a contract extension. So, I mean, I fully expect the Titans' defensive line to dominate the Saints' day, and that's why I picked Byard as my pick to click, because I think that, you know, Carr's going to have to put one up, and when he does, that's usually when Byard ends up picking the ball off. Remember, Byard had that bad season in 2020 when they had no pass rush. So I think that he's going to get to the quarterback and create turnovers today. And so that's why I'll take Byard. Those are our picks to click, presented, of course, by Parman Tractor and Equipment. They have opened the doors here at Twin Peaks out in Madison. Again, come on out for all of your football watching. Of course, they'll have all the games on today, including the Titans game today. So get excited about that out here. We've got Mike Vrabel's key to the game, plus we've got a look at the final odds and, of course, our game day predictions, where Chris Sanders, no matter how tall the task is, will always pick the Titans. That is to come right here on the award-winning pregame show, live out at Twin Peaks in Madison, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live again for the pregame show out here at Twin Peaks in Madison. Again, Twin Peaks will be our home throughout the course of the football season for the Road Titans games between the Twin Peaks here in Madison and the Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. We are very excited to be bringing the award-winning pregame show out and about. And then we'll be at Teddy's downtown, right across from Bridgestone Arena, next Sunday for the Titans and the Chargers. Of course, we'll start at 9:30 for the award-winning pregame show on that one as well. All right, let's start with Mike Vrabel's key to the game. Now, I have never played at the Caesars Superdome. You two have.
Yes.
And so the loud, raucous atmosphere, TD told us earlier today, it was the loudest that he has heard it inside of the dome. Here's what Mike Vrabel said about the Titans having to play in the Superdome this week.
I mean, any dome and certainly opening week in New Orleans and – I mean, a passionate fan base, and anytime you play indoors, you have to be, you know, conscious of that, and certainly on opening week, and it will be a large part of what we do. I mean, a large part of how we prepare, knowing that, you know, the road environment is something that we're going to have to handle early in the game based on the success that we have, and, you know, third down, and making sure that, you know, we're in and out of the huddle, that we're quarterbacks, you know, putting the protection where he wants it and then being able to adjust to it. And, the line and punt team, showed the team this morning about.
So with that, what do we think about the atmosphere of the Dome?
Well, it gets pretty loud. You would rather play a game like this maybe in the middle of the season, because typically teams know where they are. The record dictates it. And a team like New Orleans may not be a team that's in position to make a playoff berth, so a lot of people are not coming to the game. But the first game of the season, when everybody's excited and the juices are flowing and people in the New Orleans think it's Mardi Gras again, man, it's going to be a ruckus place. That place gets extremely, extremely loud. And this is where the Titans have to do what they need to do to take that crowd out of the game very, very early.
You remember 3 years ago you used to laugh at me, Jared, when I used to say the most important play is a coin toss? Remember that?
Oh, no.
Here it comes again, buddy.
Oh, no.
Here it comes again. It's the coin toss. That is the most.
You know they're going to defer it, right?
No, they need.
If they win the toss, they will defer it.
But here's the deal. Just like what Derek said, to take the crowd out early. What if you get the ball first and you have an 89-yard drive, 15-play drives, and take 7 minutes off the clock? Do you think that'll take the crowd out of it?
No. I think if you do that three times, it'll take the crowd out of it.
But then you get.
But I don't think the first drive, then they'll start cheering on their team to match that drive.
But what if you get a three and out? Because now the pressure's on them.
That's what I'm saying. If you can do that three times, you take a 21-0 lead in the first quarter, then, yeah, I think you'll take the crowd out of it.
Quickly.
But I don't think you'll be doing that with one drive.
They won't be as loud.
I'm just telling you, if they win the toss, they're going to defer.
I bet you $12 they don't.
Why 12?
It's a good number.
He's picked the number out of the air. That's all. Don't worry about it.
Do you think they'll defer?
No.
Defer.
I think they do. They will defer. I think the Titans will put their defense.
Aggressive?
I think their Titans want to put the. That's them being aggressive, putting my defense on the field.
Yeah.
That's the Titans' mentality. We are going to allow our defense to set the tone. Because the last thing you want is to give your offense the ball. And that offensive line looked exactly how they did the last game of the preseason.
Okay. Hey.
And you don't want that to be the first start of your record season. Yes.
Take that. You take yourself.
So there you go. I think they defer and they kick the ball off if they win the toss.
Do you guys have any memories of playing in the Dome and it being loud
I remember playing in that Dome and the play to win a game was an onside kick that I recovered.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Teammates.
In New Orleans, I recovered the onside kick.
Was that the
kick.
Game that Mike Ditka grabbed his crotch at the fans after the game?
I'm not sure what game it was, but I know it was early on. Was it early in the season? One of the two.
So in the middle of the 99 season, like Floyd actually told me that was the game where he knew, like, okay, we got a pretty good team.
Uh-huh.
Was I think the team, it was like 4-1 or something at that point. And it might have been the last game before McNair came back from back surgery. And the first half, the team was just getting their butts kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half came out on fire. And it ended up being a Donald Mitchell interception run back for a touchdown. That was the deciding score. And after the game was over, Fisher and Mike Ditka shook hands.
Uh-huh.
And Ditka was getting heckled by the crowd. And Ditka turned around and grabbed his crotch right there at the fans. And they had to come out and apologize or whatever it was after the fact.
That's why his stint wasn't that long.
His stint wasn't that long because he traded an entire draft for Ricky Williams.
For Ricky Williams. Now, Ricky Williams was a great back, but I'm not trading all my assets for one guy.
No.
Nah,
No.
He better be the quarterback if I'm doing that.
Let's take a look at the final odds as we approach kickoff today. The Saints are a 3-point favorite. That
what?
Opened
wow.
as New Orleans -3.
Unreal.
What is happening now?
I mean, let me tell you, it opened. Like, when the schedule came out in May, it opened as Saints -3. It has stayed Saints -3 the entire time. Now, the only big difference between then and now is Kamara suspended and the Titans signed DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I think that would be enough to probably move the number a little bit, but it has stayed Saints -3. And remember, you get about 3 points for home field advantage.
Uh-huh.
So keep that in mind. And the popular parlay today, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook, that 2,371 people have picked, this is a popular one. Titans on the money line, which means Titans to win.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry plus 60 yards. Derrick Henry anytime touchdown scorer. DeAndre Hopkins plus 50 yards. $10 wager will win you $41.90. Would you make that bet?
I'd make the 10. I'd make those bets. Anytime Derrick Henry score.
50 yards,
yes.
For Hopkins?
I would take that all day, every day. 50 yards?
60 yards for Henry on the ground?
Yes, I think so. I think.
See, Henry's traditionally a slow starter.
Yeah, but I think he still gets at least 60 yards. 100%. Now, it all depends on how that 60 yards look, because it could be a ugly 60 yards, or it could be like a, okay.
Like even his bad games are 60 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, time now to make our final game day predictions. Week one. Who wins today? Final score. And why? Chris Sanders, lead us off.
I am going to go with Tennessee Titans 28, and I think the Saints 14. And the reason why, I just think our defense is too good.
How do you get to 28 points with the offensive line the Titans?
Just guessing like I do all the time. So, no, I'm just kidding. It's all a guess. I mean, we're all guessing. But serious, on a serious note, man, I just think our defense is just too stout. You got Simmons, you got Autry, you got Weaver, you got all those guys that's going to put pressure on Derek Carr. So, you know, I just think our offense just got to consistently have those long play drives, make some plays, and get 28. I know we're talking bad about the offensive line and this and that, but I still think that the Tennessee Titans at the skill position have a chance to score some points.
17-20, Titans. I think it comes down to –
You mean 2017?
Yeah, 2017. I think it comes down to a folk kick.
Oh, how long?
I think he's going – it's going to be a 47-yarder.
Oh.
I think he's going to
– Just like Big Boy last year?
Just a 47-yarder right up the uprights. It's going to have enough distance for a potential 52-yarder. But I just think that, you know, I think it's going to be a close game, one, because we haven't seen this offense play together. Yeah. The brief time they did, majority of them, D-Hop still wasn't out there, trailing wasn't out there. And Ryan Tannehill hand the ball off three times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was not exactly. It really didn't count. So I think they start off slow. I think they pick up in the second half, but it's still a tight game. Titans 20, New Orleans 17. On a Nick Folk 47-yard field goal to win the game.
We got 28-14 right there. We got 20-17 right there. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Titans 16-10. I think this is going to be a very low-scoring game. And I think it because I think, you know, the Titans defense is really good, and I think the Titans offense isn't very good. So I think that's going to lead us to a tight game. I think DeAndre Hopkins will have a lot of volume catches. I think Treylon Burks will have a big catch. And then I think the Titans are going to win this game because they will have a Kevin Byard interception at the end of the game that seals it from Derek Carr. So I'll take the Titans by a final score of 16-10. Guys?
Hey,
it's good to be back on the award-winning pregame show.
Absolutely.
Out here. Again, come on out to Twin Peaks, absolutely, home of the 29-degree drafts. They have opened the doors out here, and we will be live across the street from Bridgestone Arena out at Ted's, and we will do that coming up next week. And then, of course, we'll be back at Bridgestone Arena, or we'll be back at Twin Peaks for all the road games, both here in Madison and in Cool Springs throughout the course of the season. For Derek Mason and Chris Sanders, this has been Jared Stillman on the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.